Scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Good morning. I hope this lesson will be very beneficial to you. I've been praying about it. So this year, we've been talking about spiritual growth. And when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, I think we'll have some things here that will encourage us, that will uplift us and help us as Christians to be more focused. This morning, we want to be more focused. We gather together on the first day of the week to focus upon Jesus Christ. We think about how much he loves us, how he gave his only son to die for us upon the cross. We think about how much he values us and that he has created us and made us in his image and that he has done so many things for us and he's blessed us so much. We want to make sure that in our lives that we don't allow other things to be equal to God, to his word, to his love. And we want God to be above all others. When we make things equal to him, we are committing the sin of idolatry. That's what we want to stay away from. And this chapter right here in Ephesians chapter 4, which we'll be reading from, we're going to read a little bit more than what Chris has read for us as well. And we're going to take our text from our lesson from there, straight from God's word, learn more about how to be a mature person. I thought about calling this lesson how to be a balanced person, what the scriptures say. What does the Bible say about how having a balanced life? And about a month or two ago, I had someone specifically ask me, said, why don't you preach on being more balanced? And I thought this is a good thing to end the year with, to show us how to be mature, to grow. We're all trying to grow. We're all trying to mature. And this passage right here, I believe, can help us a lot. So when we look in the context of Ephesians chapter 4, we see this. In Ephesians 4, Paul starts talking here. And he talks about the unity in the church. He names the seven ones right there. He talks about how God has blessed the church with many great blessings. And he says that he's given these gifts and abilities to certain people in the church to help the church be built up and to grow. And what we see here as well is that Apostle Paul is addressing things that we deal with every day in our heart. We deal with guilt. We face sin and temptation. We face resentment and anger toward others. And I thought it fascinating. I just finished a course on counseling this last semester. And the number one problem that a lot of people have is resentment for others. And as Christian counselors, it's the number one thing they have to face. And the reason why they have that is because they'll have a goal or an ideal or an expectation that they think that they ought to meet or they should meet, or it might be a selfish one. I want this. This is my expectation. It might be an expectation for your work, for your employer or employee. It might be an expectation of your children. It might be an expectation for your spouse. It might be an expectation for me on when I get up in the morning to drive in traffic, I expect to flow. I don't want anybody getting in my way. But when we have those expectations and they're interrupted, why do we become? We become a little, at least annoyed. That would be the lower level. But sometimes we become resentful. Resentful of our spouse, resentful of those around us. I want this. This is my expectation. We want to go back to the scriptures this morning and make sure that our expectations, our goals, our accomplishments are all based upon God. Also, we want to rely on him to accomplish them. We want him to be the focus completely in what we do. Paul helps us here. He helps us to deal with these things and to resolve fear and anxiety. And often, some people wake up every day and they go through all these emotions. And they'll have resentment and anger, and they have self-degradation. They put themselves down. They don't see themselves in value in God's eyes. They have anxiety and fear about what's going to happen throughout that day. And you put all those together, and you have a life that's going to be oftentimes depressed. But the Bible has given us answers for that. The Bible provides the answer for depression and the things that we face in life. And as we, as Christians grow, we're going to find fullness in him. In fact, let's read this right here. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. The apostle wants Christians, and he says this. The apostle Paul wants Christians to attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. When you have that, you are becoming a mature Christian as we grow in those things. And he says, to a mature manhood, I want you to become mature. And notice the next verse, he's going to mention children in contrast to this mature man. He says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We want the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? What does Paul mean here that we want God's fullness in our life? Well, he goes on and explains here, and he talks about that. We want a full life, a complete life, a life that, you know, we don't put anybody else's opinions up there and equal with God. Yes, we put them above our own, but nothing up there is going to consume our thoughts throughout today and distract us from following God. We know who we should be thinking about. And I encourage you this morning, let's go back to that. Let's go back to thinking upon God, his gospel, and wonderful things he's done for us. But the definition of the fullness here, as you keep reading, you go in Ephesians 5 and verse 9, Paul says it's this. He says, if you do these things and you put away these sins, and he says here in the text, as we had read for us this morning, you put off the old person and you put on the new person. When you do that, you're going to have the fruit of the light. It's kind of a strange word right there. I think when we want to think about the equivalent to it, it'd be the fruit of the Spirit. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, we look at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I missed one there, but you can go read it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You can have all of those fruits in your life. And we see this throughout the Bible. And I think it's a wonderful thing for us to be refocused on our Creator. So what does Paul want Christians to attain? How does he want us to attain to the fullness of Christ? What does the Holy Spirit and God reveal through Paul? Well, he says this in Ephesians 4 and verse 14. He says, so that you may no longer be children. And so he's saying that in contrast. I want you to have the fullness of Christ, be a mature man. Don't be like children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Well, think about that right now. How much might we allow the opinions and thoughts of others to make us feel down? We start valuing what other people say, what they have to offer, and we focus more on that than we focus on God. We're putting those things equal with God, or we're putting them above God because we're allowing them to distract us. And when it comes to doctrine, that's what we see. People will come up with the ideas of men and the teachings of others, and they will become wrapped up in those things. And all those things are going to lead to is more resentment, more anger. It's going to lead to more anxiety and fear. It's going to lead to more self-degradation and guilt, and eventually also depression. The more that we focus on God, the more we can move away from being tossed to and fro, from being distracted, for the way we can move away from feeling worthless. Your worth cannot be based in your own mind upon what others think. It has to be based upon God and his word. But people often fill their lives with all their wants and their accomplishments. And their thinking is this. It's not wrong to have goals and not look at your accomplishments, but you got to know where they come from, and they got to come from God. When you start making these wants and goals and they're focused outside of God, when you're looking at your life and you're saying, I want this and this and this, and if I don't get them, I start feeling bad. I'm behind on this, and I don't feel this. You feel worthless. You kind of feel useless. We can't base ourselves on that, and we see this throughout the scriptures here. And Paul is telling us, don't be led away with that. Become mature. And then we see it a little bit further here. Paul says, we need to speak these things in love because we want everybody to be encouraged. We want us to be stable, mature Christians. How are we going to do that? Well, it takes us as Christians, ourselves, working on ourselves individually, and then spreading that unconditional love to others. Okay, so God loves us unconditionally. Book of Romans tells us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's his love, Romans 5 and verse 8. What are we supposed to do with that love? We're supposed to love God. If we love God unconditionally as best we can, we're going to keep his commandments. And if we love everybody else unconditionally and we start putting conditions on others and say, if you don't do this, I'm going to be disappointed, I'm going to resent you. We start putting conditions there that are according to God's will and we do it out of love. That changes everything. It changes the way that you feel and the way that you perceive life, the way that you will wake up tomorrow morning. Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says this. Read with me. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. That is, grow up. Mature in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Where is our focus? Where do our thoughts come from? Where do our priorities come from? They come from Jesus Christ. He's the head that's directing the body. We as the church are the body being guided by the head. And he says here, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, you could get distracted here, and I've heard some people take this passage and say, listen, right here it says if everybody was doing their job, we wouldn't have all these problems. You know what I hear there? I hear more anger and resentment. And that's where Paul's going in this text. He goes straight to anger right after these things, after he encourages this congregation. He says, do it out of love. And we're going to see more about that as we continue to read here. So Paul teaches that the mature Christian follows Christ. Following Christ, they're not carried away by every wind throughout life, different thinking, and the goals of others and expectations, not even by your own. And so we stay focused upon God and make sure that our goals are focused upon his word. So look with me again in our main passage this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, we're going to move through the text right now. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. So Paul says this, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. So notice the description here. Their minds and their thoughts are futile. That is, they don't produce anything. There's no maturity there. It's not going to lead to the right place. The world around you might say, well, you're not a worthwhile person unless you can do this, this, and this. And he's saying, this is a futility of mind. Look in verse 18. He says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. That's the problem. The heart is hardened and they're ignorant. And he says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So you think about this right now. He's talking about, and he says, look at these, the people around you. Don't become like the nations. In fact, we want to love them unconditionally, bring them to Christ. We want to stay away from these things, this kind of thinking that's futile, that's dark, that's alienated from God, that doesn't involve him. We want to stay away from the hardness and things that can make us callous. And that involves when we start having expectations and ideals, whether of ourselves or others, that are not according to God's word. And then we could become callous. And what do callous people do? Well, they become hardened. And things in life become difficult. And they become overwhelmed with stress and with anger. And they feel that burden upon them. And not only that, they feel like they're worthless. And they also feel fear and anxiety. So what do? They turn to what you can call deceitful desires. That's what the Bible calls it. From a counseling perspective, you would call it stimuli. You're looking for something that's just going to make you feel better for a little bit. It's temporary, but you don't know what else to do. And so they would do this. They lived in sensuality. What is sensuality? Well, it involves a lewdness, the way that some person may behave, and it includes pornography. It includes any kind of sin like that, sexual sins. That's when we're looking at sensuality and impurity. It might include greed. So some people, they feel so bad, they go out and they just buy stuff. They're infatuated on the next thing that they're going to purchase or fill their life with, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help. And so Paul says, here's an answer here. You don't need those things. Those are just stimuli. They're just distractions in life. They're just deceitful desires. We want to keep reading here. But people seek sensuality and sexual sins to satisfy their hurt, their guilt and inadequacy, all those things that we've talked about before. It's the same thing with drinking. People go to drinking. They go to the use of drugs, marijuana. Gossip and slander make people feel better. They always want to know everybody about everybody else's life. Complaining does that. All of it is just deceitful desires that are meant that some people do it because for some reason it makes them feel secure. I think when we look at the love of God and we realize we've been distracted, we realize that we've been insecure. I need God. I need to rely on him and trust on him. I need to come to the conclusion that God is enough. Everything that I want in life does not compare to him. God is enough. And listen to what Paul says here from those who have been led astray by this. Look at verses 20 to 24. He says, that is not the way that you learn Christ. Those things are not going to fill your life. Christ will. You want fullness in your life. You want meaning. You want something that will never lead you astray. You want to turn to God and you want to learn Christ. Verse 21, it says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. You're not going to find any other truth anywhere else. You're going to find it in God and in Christ. Verse 22, listen to what his goal is for these Christians. To put off your old self. Now, we're supposed to do that when we're baptized, right? But sometimes, even these Christians here apparently have gotten away from that. It says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. That's what he's been talking about in the context. Those deceitful desires, put them away. And he says in verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's what we want this morning. To be renewed in the spirit of our minds, to be refocused on God. That's what Paul wants. You want to be a fool, you want to be a mature Christian, you got to change the way that you think, the way that you perceive the world. And when you change your thinking, that'll change your behavior. And when your behavior changes, you're going to have the fruits of the Spirit. You're going to know what love and joy and peace are throughout every part of your life. That's what we want. That's what we want to work for. Paul says in verse 24, he says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. When your mind's set and you become a new person, you become like God. You know what his righteousness and justice is. You know what his holiness is. And you have that in your life. And now, Paul's going to go a little bit further here. Listen to where he goes next. So we read there. We looked in Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. We see the truth that is in Christ. We see what we need to do is to renew our minds. But look with me now at verses 25 to 32. So what is the issue that many Christians are being distracted by? What ties into this? Not only is it these sexual sins and greed and covetousness that have distracted so many people and kept them from focusing God and making their priorities right. Look here to verses 25 to 32. Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. Remember before he said, speak the truth in love. That's what we want to do. Love. Speak the truth in love. And he says here in verse 26, he says, be angry and do not sin. There are times you're going to be annoyed. You're going to be angry by things in your life. You're planning on doing this. It might happen throughout the day. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, address it, confront it, and give no opportunity to the devil. And he continues to say this in verse 28. He says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. What's the thief have to do with anger and everything else Paul's been talking about there? Well, why does a thief steal? Well, he thinks he deserves something. He expects something that he does not get. And out of his resentment, he will take from anybody who he thinks he can and justifiably will. He thinks it in his mind. And that is the thinking there. So the thief, as well, is reacting in the wrong way. His thinking is wrong, so his behavior is wrong. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupting speech come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may be giving grace to those who hear. So we think about the words that we say. Do our words come out as anger? Do they come out with a lack of love? We don't want that at all. So Paul, again, is encouraging them. Let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth. And he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, when you do these things, when you live a life that's full of anger and disappointment because your focus is not on God, this is what happens. He says here, you're grieving God. You're causing sorrow to God, to the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to be dwelling within you and blessing you with a life that is balanced in the fruit of light and the fruit of the Spirit. Look here in verses 31 and 32. Listen to what Paul says. He says, let all bitterness. So a lot of times when people say, I have this goal, whatever it might be, and something interrupts it, they have bitterness to whoever they think stopped that from happening. In fact, they'll have malice. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is speaking like yelling when you're angry. That clamor. And he says, and slander. People will slander others when they're angry and bitter. really hate coming out. And he says, but put away from you, put that all away from you, along with all malice. Put all that hate away. And he gives us something to do that's in the positive. This is what you do when someone has annoyed you or upset you or kept you from doing, when you think you're trying to do God's will, even, you need to look at this verse and we need to consider God's forgiveness. God forgave us. And in verse 32, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And if God has forgiven you, who are you to withhold forgiveness from others? When we look in the Bible, God's love is unconditional to us, but his grace is conditional. His grace is conditional upon you returning that love to him and to others. The Bible tells us that as long as you walk in the light, your sins are washed away. The blood of Christ washes away your sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9. So while God loves you, he gives you that love and he wants you to give it back. And when you give it back to God, you're going to want to keep his commandments. You're going to follow his goals. You're going to have his priorities. These things that anger us that shouldn't be there, we're going to start putting those things away. I'm going to let these things go away because I'm going to put on the new self. I'm going to change and renew my mind. I want to encourage you this morning with a little bit of application before we finish. What does a mature Christian life look like? I think first we need to look at the home. I think it's a good application because a man and a woman who focus upon their marriage are able to apply the words and passages right here in this passage, or whoever it might be, if it's with your children, whoever you're closest to, it'll grow from there. So how can this life of a mature Christian, how can it change you? How can you have it? I think sometimes many spouses feel unhappy with themselves. They degrade themselves because they feel like they can't ever make their spouse happy. Often it's the husband in that role, right? He's saying, I want this, this, and this. And if you don't do it, I'm resentful, and she feels unhappy. And what do the scriptures tell us to do? Well, it tells the husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And Christ loves the church unconditionally. He's not going to make up his own goals and priorities and force them on her so that she feels degraded. On the other hand, I would encourage her to find her happiness and joy in life in God by what values that he has given to her. When we do this, when we apply this, when we show that unconditional love to others, I think we can lead more to Christ. And I know that we can continue to grow and mature as Christians by the things that we've seen this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. The mature Christian, again, realizes that God's love is unconditional, and your first goal must be to love him and love others unconditionally. In fact, we see this very clearly in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, and while God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. And when we love God and we see that he wants us to be saved, we're going to obey the gospel. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6 talks about God's love and his grace through the gospel. In fact, in the beginning of Ephesians 2, he says, you're dead in your sins, you're alienated from God, and this is what God did for you. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us at the right hand in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, that is a model of the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. Here, you're dead in your sin. You're going to be raised up with Christ. When? Romans 6 and Colossians 2 tells you when you're baptized. When you believe and you put that old person to rest, you put that old person of sin to rest, you confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized in waters of baptism and rise up into newness of life. That starts the newness of life. God's forgiving grace, it is conditional upon you returning that love to him faithfully, obeying the gospel, so that you can have the salvation, the blessings God wants you to have. This morning, if you haven't been baptized in Christ, you don't have that forgiveness of sins yet. You're not a part of the church yet. And I want you to encourage you from what the Bible says that you will be baptized. And you will have everything that God has blessed you with and the love and value he has for you. This morning, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need prayers and encouragement, I encourage you to come right now. Please come while we stand and while we sing.